Chapter 1. The Sign. When Horace F. Andrews spotted the Horace F. Andrews sign through the cloudy windows of the 77 eastbound bus, he blinked. Just a blink, nothing more. He was surprised to see his own name on a sign, of course, and his sizable curiosity was definitely roused. But still, he took the sighting in stride. He'd always been a firm believer in coincidences. Given enough time and enough stuff, it was only natural that the universe would churn out some odd happenings. In fact, the way Horace saw it, a universe in which strange coincidences did not occur would be a pretty suspicious place. The Horace F. Andrews sign was tall and narrow, hanging from the side of a building back in an alleyway off Wexler Street. It featured a long column of faded yellow words on a weather-worn blue background. But it was his name, written large at the bottom, that jumped out at him first, clear and unmistakable. Horace F. Andrews. The bus rolled on. Just before the sign slipped out of sight, he caught a few of the yellow words in the long list above his name. Artifacts, miseries, mysteries. Sparks of curiosity flared up inside Horace. He blinked, just once, and thought the situation through, tending those sparks like a brand new fire. What were the odds of his seeing a sign with his exact name on it? Not terrible, he decided. Horace wasn't a very common name, but Andrews definitely was, and it was probably fairly common to have F as a middle initial, certainly better than one chance in 26. Of course, it was pure chance that he was even here in the first place. The 77 was his usual bus home from school, but this was not its usual route. Normally, the bus went straight down Belmont Avenue, but construction had forced the bus to detour down Wexler Street instead of driving right by. It was also pure chance that Horace had been looking out the windows at all. Ordinarily, he would have been sitting in the very back row, reading or working on a science problem for Mr. Ludwig's class, building a bubble of concentration against the noise and confusion of the bus. But today the bus was extra crowded, packed with rowdy kids from school in the back and stone-faced adults in the front. Horace had to stand in the middle, at the top of the steps near the rear door, feeling large and awkward and hating his heavy backpack and wondering just how much he, Horace Andrews, belonged here. All he could do was look out the window and hope the ride would be short. But then the sign slid by, and a block or two later, the bus slowed and jerked to a stop. The rear door opened, and a plump old lady in a purple dress began easing down the steps, clinging to the rail with both hands. Horace looked through the back windows, but the sign was out of sight. Was it for a store? Or maybe someone's office, presumably the office of Horace F. Andrews? The sign had looked very old. Maybe the place didn't even exist anymore. But then there were those words. Artifacts, mysteries. And what possible reason could any business have for putting miseries on its sign? Horace watched the old lady stretch out one chubby leg, reaching for the curb below. The other passengers rustled impatiently. A scrawny, red-faced kid Horace recognized from social studies leaned over the stairwell and started chanting at the old lady. "Go, go, go!" And then Horace stepped around the woman and jumped out of the bus. He landed heavily on the sidewalk. The old lady squawked at him and yanked her foot back. "Excuse me," Horace mumbled. He trotted away, feeling as startled as the old lady looked. He was not ordinarily impulsive, not the kind of person who simply did things without thinking them through ahead of time. But sometimes his inquisitiveness pulled him places he wouldn't ordinarily go. And that sign, those words in his name together like that. The May air was cool but held a hint of thickness that spoke of summer, of freedom and possibilities. Horace's internal clock, always accurate, told him it was 3:16. This time of day, the 77 eastbound ran every 14 minutes. He could investigate the sign and then catch the next bus, still getting home before his mother. He hurried on down the sidewalk, searching. Just as he thought he was drawing nearer to the alleyway, An enormous shape swept across his path, colliding with him hard and knocking the breath from his chest. Horace staggered back, almost tumbling into the gutter.
"Goodness," said a musical voice from high above.
Horace looked up, and up, into the face of the tallest man he'd ever seen. The man was so tall that he hardly looked like a man at all, 10 feet tall or more. And thin, almost as impossibly thin as he was impossibly tall, with spidery limbs and a torso that seemed too narrow to hold organs. He had hands the size of rakes, with long, skinny fingers. He stank of something chemical and foul. Horace drew back as the man leaned over him.